Reading tonight for our text from 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll start at verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Peter might be the best example in Scripture, clearly showing us the great change wrought in the life of a Christian who has been filled with the Holy Spirit. After Peter's Pentecost experience, suddenly, we find someone who really is an evangelist for the Lord. He's suddenly mighty in the Scriptures. He's unapologetically on fire for God. He's very courageous in his declaring of the truth. He divides what the prophets had said about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, tying together for those that are listening what is happening there. Of course, Peter had previously failed. He had denied the Lord 3 times. And one commentator brought out that, you know, after the Lord, his death and his resurrection, and he was on the seashore, and he asked Peter 3 times if he loved him more than these. Maybe it was symbolic of him reversing those denials. We don't know, but it could have been. Well, we know that Peter, according to Matthew 16:17, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." This word Barjona means that Peter was the son of Jonah, so apparently his father's name was Jonah. In another place in Scripture, it's translated as John, but John or Jonah, there's a couple of different locations. We know that Peter's original name, Simon, comes from a Hebrew name that we're familiar with, Simeon. But it was the Lord who ultimately changed Simon's name to Cephas or Peter, which means rock. Also found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it says, "These are the words of the Lord, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter," declaring what his name would be changed to, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, Peter did end up being a bedrock leader, you might say, of the early church. And we know, as we find in Acts chapter 2 and 3, that as Peter gets to work right away, immediately after being filled with the Holy Ghost, he declares unto them that it was they're responsible for the crucifying of the Lord. And he lays out their history, and it says in Acts 2:37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart." Well, that was the Holy Spirit speaking to them. "And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And really, this is a basic outline of how we preach the gospel today. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent. And be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And we know that later he talks about the gift being for all humanity, as many as the Lord our God have called. Well, the Lord is working powerfully and wonderfully through Peter by way of the Holy Spirit. We never want to minimize the work of the Holy Spirit. We never want to minimize the importance of being filled with the Holy Ghost. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the point of this dispensation. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And of course, it was the Apostle Paul who reiterates to the Galatians that the Lord was using Paul as a teacher to the Gentiles, but it was Peter that would bring to focus the gospel to the Jewish people. You know, just recently, Allison had called someone to our house to clean the ductwork. There was a lot of work being done, and it was very dusty and dirty. And so later I showed up, and the guy was very energetic. He had a lot of workers with him, and he was working really hard. And after a while, he said, "You know, I'm Jewish." And he had an accent, and I was talking to him, and he began to say that his aunt was killed in that attack that happened in October. And he got his phone out and he started showing me pictures, and you could tell they weren't really pictures from a news station, that they were pictures that he had received from friends over there in Israel. And he seemed sort of shooken up by it and was kind of not sure what to do about it. And I began to explain to him what the Lord can do in the life of someone. And he said, "But we have the Torah." And as I tried to explain to him what the Lord can do at salvation and tie together the Old Testament and the New Testament and telling him what the Lord had done for me, he said, "You know, I've never heard that before." And he goes back and forth to Israel, and on that morning, his aunt, they would go to the Dead Sea regularly to get in the water, and they had gotten a flat tire, and they were on the side of the road, and of course, the pictures that he showed were horrendous. But we do know, sadly, that maybe less than 1% of the Jewish people have embraced what they can embrace just like you and me. What Peter was told to tell that nation about what the Lord can do in the life of an individual. So please pray for that man and his family. But many believe that Peter's gospel may have been Mark. That is to say that Peter told John Mark what he observed being with the Lord. And so the gospel of Mark is actually sort of the gospel of Peter. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we also believe that Peter's wife accompanied or traveled with him as he preached and taught the gospel. This particular book, this particular 1 Peter itself, is one of eight general epistles in the scripture. So we know that when Paul wrote, he wrote to specific churches, maybe churches he had been to or that had been established. Well, Peter's epistles are general. They're to a general audience. He says, "To the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." Now these today would be modern day Turkey. In Bible times, that area of the world was called Asia. And strangers might mean a little bit different than what it would mean to you and me today. It means pilgrims, maybe resident foreigners. That's exactly who he was writing to. So it was very general with all those that would listen to this in this area of the world at that time. In verse 2, he says elect, which means those that are chosen by God. And we know throughout scripture that God has chosen everyone to salvation. He has not chosen a specific or a select group, but God is no respecter of persons. Salvation is to the Gentile and to the Jew, to the Greek and to the Hebrew individual. It says, according to the foreknowledge, God is aware of every decision that you and me will make because he has foreknowledge. That doesn't mean that he steps on our will and makes the decisions for us. It means because God is all-knowing, he is aware. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. We see how the Spirit of God is at work with the blood of Jesus when we are sanctified. And we can look back in Old Testament times in the temple sacrificial system and see what would happen when the blood was sprinkled on the golden altar, and that when you and me are sanctified, the Spirit of God sprinkles the blood of Jesus on our hearts and we are made pure. He goes on to say, "Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You see, the hope that we have is alive. The hope that we have is a living, we might say, breathing hope. A hope that has substance. A hope that we've experienced. It's what's much more than just words or theoretical. The hope that Peter is writing about is a supernatural assurance that we have down in our hearts. A hope that is vibrant. A hope that he says is alive. It's more than words. A hope that is validated by the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Ghost in our lives. A hope that we have experienced, or we might say an experienced hope. A hope that's confirmed by these altar services. When we get down and pray and we sense and we feel God's Spirit in our hearts, that's the lively hope. It's a real hope. A hope that's confirmed by signs and wonders that follow the preaching of God's Word. You've been healed. That's because you went by way of obedience to God's Word. God did a work, and that's a confirmation of the hope that we have. A hope that is an inheritance. An inheritance that's made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, written on our hearts when we're saved. In verse 4, he says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Speaking to all humanity. There was a 2023 UBS study that says, in terms of inheritances, most of the wealth accumulated by dollar figure, attributing to new billionaires, for the first time, there was more that came by way of inheritance from the records that they keep, rather than being self-made wealth. Over the next 20 to 30 years, more than 100 billionaires are expected to pass down $5.2 trillion of wealth to their heirs. Apparently, there's a surge in billionaires being created, and China's leading the way. I read another statistic. 70% of high net worth families lose their fortune by the second generation, according to wealth study firm William Group. And according to the certified, and I've heard this before, the Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, nearly one third of lottery winners eventually go bankrupt within 3 to 5 years of winning, which is at a higher rate than the average American that goes bankrupt. There are many infamous stories of people squandering their inheritance. Actress Carissa Dixon Wright, she inherited 2.8 million pounds in the 1970s. Which would be much more today. She lived so lavishly, she ended up going homeless. Maureen O'Connor, the wife of the founder of Jack in the Box, inherited $50 million. She had a problem with video poker. She also was convicted of money laundering from her husband's nonprofit. She lost it all. Barbara Hutton inherited $50 million in the 1930s. That'd be almost $1 billion today. She brought expensive jewelry, art pieces. She went through 7 husbands, and she was nearly broke when she passed away at the age of 66. These are all well documented if you look them up. You can, and there are others. But these inheritances here, they're the opposite of what God gives you and me. These are temporal. But, you know, even these inheritance, if they're passed on and managed well, they will not last. What does God give us? Peter says here again, he gives us that which is incorruptible. That means it's immortal. Look at the original. It means it's immortal, undecaying, the opposite of that which decays, and undefiled, which means it is pure or it's not contaminated, and that fadeth not away. He's tripling down on it. It's eternal and everlasting, and it's reserved, he says, in heaven. That word for reserved means it's guarded, and it implies there is a fortress around it. Think of what's up in heaven and what God is guarding for you and for me for all eternity. He stands guard upon it. He says, in heaven for you. What an inheritance we have. What a lively hope we have. And Revelation tells us over and over a taste of some of those things that we inherit. He says in Revelation 2:7, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. You will eat of that tree, the scripture says, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You see, God has a plan to restore that which was in the garden. And he's reserved it for a day soon to come, that those which overcome, we inherit it. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. That's our inheritance. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. We want our garments to be prepared and ready now. And it speaks of this raiment that we will wear throughout eternity. He that hath an ear, this is verse 17 of chapter 2, Revelation, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. What does that taste like? And will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth. The Lord has a stone for you and for me with a name on it that only you will know, the scripture says. In verse 26, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give him power over the nations. I can't comprehend that. But the scripture says it in verse 28, and I will give him the morning star. The morning star is your inheritance. Imagine our inheritance throughout all eternity. Him that overcometh, chapter 3, verse 12, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. That's Jesus. We can't comprehend this. I like how Paul puts it to the Romans. He says, speaking of you and me, and if children, children of God, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You see, we have an inheritance to have a body like the Lord, like Christ. And in the scripture, when he was glorified, he could eat fish. The Bible shows many times he eats, but he could go through walls, and we can't comprehend or understand all of that. But the Bible says that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In verse 18, Paul says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, speaking of our inheritance. You know, we don't want to squander our inheritance. There's so many examples of those that have squandered their inheritance. What will we do with the inheritance that's been passed down to us? You see, we have an inheritance that's been given to us. We've been told, we've been taught, and we've been experienced that we don't want to squander our eternal inheritance that we have access to. We want to pass down this inheritance. It's been passed down to us. We want to keep this inheritance going because it's eternal, because it will last forever, because it's for all of humanity. We want to invite the world to be partakers of this inheritance. And we know people that are on the outside, and we want to pray for them and invite them and say, there's something special for you. It comes by way of the blood of Jesus. What have you done? What have I done with my inheritance? My eternal inheritance. You see, the promise is for all of humanity, yet it's for a select group, those that take the way. The Bible talks about a narrow way. The Bible talks about that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we must come by way of the cross. No other name but the name of Jesus will save us. And we believe that. And so I wonder tonight, do you know the Lord? Have you experienced the taste of this inheritance? Just as the Apostle Peter said that it's a lively hope. When you get saved, it's a lively salvation. That's the confirmation that you've stepped into, we might say, and partook of that inheritance. That's how you have confirmation that Christ did rise from the dead. We can read about it. We can hear about it. We can hear other people's testify about it. But if you receive Christ into your heart, you will experience that lively hope. You will experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and it's available for everyone. We want to be saved, we want to be sanctified, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to have an opportunity to pray. We want to search our hearts and make sure that We have not squandered our inheritance, but we have embraced it. Embrace that which God has made available. Embrace the gospel. The opportunity to pray is now. You can pray at home. You can pray here around these altars. The song is 638. Let's come forward and seek the Lord.